إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله جل وعلا وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله نرحب بكم جميعا. I welcome all of you once again. Part 2 of these lectures في هذا الموضوع المهم قواعد في تزكية النفس. In these lectures we're presenting to you principles pertaining to the purification of the soul. لفضيلة الشيخ الدكتور عبد الرزاق العباد البدر حفظه الله تعالى. Before I continue reading to you what the Shaykh said, just bring to you a brief summary to what we talked about in a previous lecture, part 1. The Shaykh, he mentioned the importance of this matter and how noble is indeed this topic, the purification of the soul, and that we should give it the care because of its importance and because of its fruits and benefits that present not only to the individuals but also it reflects on the society in general. And since I make this point right now, we refer you to the talk. A talk that was given to us, alhamdulillah, this is ni'mah from Allah this afternoon. We have a live connection with one of the scholars of this time, a Shaykh al-Doktor Sulaiman al-Ruhayli hafidhahullah from Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh, he talked about آثار تزكية النفس في صلاح الفرد والمجتمع. The benefits and the good consequences of purifying one's soul. Because that purification reflects on the righteousness of individuals, which reflect on the righteousness and the well-being of a society in general. The Shaykh Hamad Ta'ala, he says that Shaykh Abdul Razzaq Al-Abbad Hafidhahullah, he says, this is a topic that is very vast. The purification of the soul, tazkiyat al-nafs, so that the soul can be pure, righteous, honest, upright, and the like, is a very vast topic. That's why he chose to talk about some of the principles, the most important principles that we should know, and they will help us along with us trying our best, be diligent, striving hard, and work hard into trying to purify our souls. The first principle that the Shaykh he mentioned, طيب, I want one of the brothers to remind me now. In 3 seconds, I'm gonna put somebody up. طيب يا خانة بارك الله فيك. What was the first principle? We mentioned how many principles?
Two.
Two. Ahsan, what was the first one?
Ay na'am?
I don't see you, but it doesn't matter, but I hear you. Jazakallahu khairan. Tafaddal, repeat. Can you repeat that statement, please? أحسنت أن زكاة النفس بيد الله الله يزكي من يشاء. The first thing that we should remember in this, that the purification of the soul is in Allah's hand. He the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who purifies whom He wills. This took us to another principle. Since this is the case, Naam, what is the other principle?
Second principle.
You can check your notes. It's okay. This is not a test.
Dua. Invocation.
Ahsan, dua, invocation. See? Since it is in Allah's hand, and He alone can bestow it, what we need to do then? Ask Allah. Ask tazkiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the third principle? Because we didn't elaborate on it, but I mentioned it. I said, inshallah ta'ala, in the next class, that's what we're going to start with. Now, Sheikh.
Third principle is Qur'an.
The purification of the soul through the Qur'an. The book of Allah. Kalamullah. Ahsant. That's one thing. The second thing I want us to present before we go ahead and read to you the statements of a noble Sheikh. We received two questions last night, remember? And I said I don't know the answer, and we will ask one of the mashayikh. Alhamdulillah, in the end of the talk of today with Sheikh Sulaiman al-Rahili, I asked him these two questions. The first question was about if a person have a dentures. People have dentures. Do they have to remove them while they make wudu? The Sheikh says, no, they don't have to. Because what they are commanded to do is to insert water into their mouth. That's it. They don't have to take their dentures out. Okay? That's one question. The second question was that the siwak, using the siwak and cleaning the teeth is recommended at the wudu. The question was, before wudu, right in the middle of the wudu, after wudu, the Sheikh says before the wudu. When you're about to make the wudu, hafidhahullah, he says, you brush your teeth, you use the miswak. And he gave us the hikmah, the wisdom. Why? He says the miswak will remove the debris and whatever is left over hanging on our gums or on our teeth or between the teeth sometimes. You're moving it, but it's still there. When you make wudu and you rinse, it will come out. طيب and that's the hikmah alhamdulillah. Now we continue inshallah ta'ala. Sorry if some brothers they have their phones in here, if I need to move them a little bit or something, you don't mind, right? Because this is not my property. If I have to touch it, I have to ask permission. Alright, so if something happened to the phone, maybe touching it, don't hold me liable for that, right? But I'm going to be cautious, inshallah. So likewise, I want to move something, I may move the phone, okay? Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Because this is the amana, ya akhwan. We don't supposed to touch people's properties without their permissions. Okay? Even if you find a phone on the floor, brother went to make wudu or something, you don't touch it. Some people, they grab the phone and start looking at the text messages and the pictures. That's not permissible. It's not permissible to touch someone's property. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم. قال الشيخ الأمر الثالث من القواعد المهمة في هذا الباب يعني باب تزكية النفوس أن القرآن الكريم كلام رب العالمين هو كتاب التزكية ومنبعها ومعينها ومصدرها. The third principle from these principles, the very important principles in this bab, which is the purification of the soul, أن القرآن الكريم كلام رب العالمين. That the Quran, which is the statements of the Lord of the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو كتاب التزكية. It is the book of تزكية. This is the book that helps us to purify our souls and ourselves. ومنبعها ومعينها ومصدرها. It is its source. because you always want to go to the source. It is that spring, that fresh and clear spring. And it is that fountain. You want to purify yourself? You're going to drink from this spring. You're going to go to the source. You're going to go to that fountainhead, which is the book of Allah. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ لِنَفْسِهِ التَّزْكِيَةَ فَلْيَطْلُبْهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The Shaykh said, if anyone is looking for to achieve this very important matter, which is the purification of the soul, he should find how. How you do it? You should find it in the book of Allah. It's like a manual. You have a phone, especially those iPhones, they call them smartphones. If you're not used to them, to those, you need to read the manual that comes with them. Write a little book. Now the purification of the soul is very important matter. We should not just like be creative and try our best, everybody try his way. Now we gotta turn it to the source. Take it from the book of Allah. And then the Shaykh, he began to bring some ayats. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى كما في سورة آل عمران verse 164 لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم. شوف من الزكاة من التزكية. ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from among themselves, reciting unto them His verses, this Quran, and purifying them. See this ayah, purification, and purifying them from sins by them following His teachings. That's what's going to purify them. And instructing them in the book and al-hikmah, the Quran and the Sunnah. قال الشيخ عبد الرزاق حفظه الله فهو عليه الصلاة والسلام يزكي الناس بتلاوة هذه الآيات من القرآن. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he recites to the people the Quran, the verses from the Quran, to purify the people with those verses. وقال الله تعالى في سورة قاف آية 45 فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد. فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد. But warn by the Quran him who fears my threat. But warn by the Quran him who fears my threat. وقال الله تعالى في سورة قاف أيضا آية 37 إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Verily, in this indeed a reminder for him who has a heart or gives ear while he is heedful. While he or she, نحن نقول هي للتغليب. He or she, this is both for men and for women. وقال الله تعالى في سورة العنكبوت آية 51 أولم يكفهم أن أنزلنا عليك الكتاب يتلى عليهم. Is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the book, i.e. the Quran, which is recited to them, which is recited to them. وقال جل وعلا في سورة الإسراء الإسراء chapter 17 آية 9 إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم. Verily this Quran guides to that which is most just and right. But for the one who recites it, reflect upon its meanings, learn the meanings first from the sources, from the books of tafsir, tafsir of Ahlul Ilm, As-Salaf As-Salih. والتوفيق من الله. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh mentioned, you ask, tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال تعالى في سورة يونس, سورة يونس, that's chapter 10, verse 57. Allah says about the Quran, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, that the Quran is a healing for that which is in the breasts. A healing of what? In the tafsir of this ayah, briefly they says, a healing for the disease, from the disease of ignorance. Ignorance is a fatal disease, actually, not just a disease. دَاءٌ وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ قَاتِلُ. That the jahl, ignorance, is a fatal disease. And also is a healing, the Qur'an is a healing from doubt, shak. Because we know what doubts do to you, you can make a decision. You're confused now. Go to this way, to the right, to the left. You go forward, you go backward. You're making your turn on what you're going to do now. But if you have yaqeen, certainty, well, you keep straight, you keep going. Doesn't matter what the people around you are doing. If you know you have to make that right, even if everybody make it left, you're the only one making that right, you're going to make it because you know why you're making that right. Regardless who's making left or who's making right. Likewise, Ikhwan, Quran is a healing from doubts, from hypocrisy, and from differences. Even in differences. Because if we turn our matters, as the Shaykh says in the talk of yesterday, in part one, we were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn our differences in the book of Allah. Now. وقال تعالى في سورة الإسراء, chapter 17, ayah 82. وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين. And we send down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down of the Quran, that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. Naam, the Quran is a healing, ya akhwan. And a mercy to those who believe. وقال تعالى في سورة فصلت, chapter 41. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay? I don't memorize them like that, but inshallah. That's chapter 41, verse 44. قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. هو يعني القرآن. هذا القرآن. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is for those who believe, a guide and a healing. Naam, the Quran is a guide to all that which is good in this life and in the hereafter, and is a healing as well. وقال تعالى كما في سورة الأنبياء, that's chapter 21, verse 45, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحِي. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I warn you only by the revelation. In the tafsir, they say, from Allah, and not by the opinion of religious scholars and others. The reminder is from the book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was counting? How many ayahs the Shaykh mentioned? No one? That's good, because I don't want you to be counting. I want you to pay attention to the statements. Alhamdulillah, that's good. All right? Jazakum Allah khair. But how many ayahs? Maybe three?
No, more than that.
More than that?
Yes.
30?
No, not that many.
Not that many. Alhamdulillah. See, at least you're with me. Allahu Akbar. Huh?
Six, five.
Six, five.
I might have missed a couple.
Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair. Just you being
I got
here.
Six here, but I know it's maybe more.
Maybe, huh?
But I didn't write it. You was talking, I couldn't stop you.
All right, Jazakallah khair. You said six?
I say six.
If you flip it the other way, upside down, what I give? That's nine. Jazakallah khair. Okay. Barakallah vi. But you know how to write six and nine, right?
Yes.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Tayyib. The Shaykh, he mentioned these ayats. Barakallah vikum. Qalfa al-Qur'anu kitabu tazkiyah. After mentioning these verses, the Shaykh, he says, the Qur'an is the book of purification. Keep this in our mind. Let's engrave it in our hearts. Alright? Not just we wait until a brother give a khutbah, Al-Qur'an, Kitab, Tazkiyah, and then, wow, that's a nice topic, that's a nice title. No, let's engrave this title in our minds. Let's see it in front of us. Al-Qur'an, Kitab, Tazkiyah. It is the book of purification. And then the Shaykh brings some details now. He says, وكلما أكرم الله سبحانه وتعالى عبده ومن عليه بتلاوة القرآن وتدبر آي القرآن ومجاهدة النفس على العمل بالقرآن نال من التزكية أوفر نصيب. الله أكبر. The Shaykh says, and whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his servants and conferred on him these gifts of reciting the Qur'an. That's a gift, ya akhwan. To be able to recite the Qur'an all time is a minnah from Allah. Is a ni'mah. All Muslims recite Qur'an all time? No. Yes, man. There is some Muslims, that's all they do. That's all. They recite the Qur'an. As I read in one of the books, one of the mashayikh, he mentioned, he said he was in a waiting room at a doctor's office. And what happened is that these people, they doing all things. People, they're like mad because they're waiting. People are frustrated. People are reading those magazines that they put on the office and newspaper. Huh? People are on the phone. People are mad. But this young man, what he's doing? He's reciting the Qur'an. And then he said to him, maybe somebody narrate this to the Shaykh, okay? It's not the Shaykh that was in there, but somebody narrate to him. Because this person, he says, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened that door for him to begin to recite the Qur'an. Because he says, then he was looking at all the people, they're doing different things. But this young man, he's serene, like he's not there. He's like, and he's reciting the Qur'an. So he went to him and said, SubhanAllah, you're different than these people. And you recite the Qur'an. Now even here you're waiting for your turn. Then the person said, SubhanAllah. He said one thing. He says, where can I find an hour and a half for two to recite the Qur'an? Huh? This is a ni'mah from Allah. I'm waiting for my turn. But this is a time. That's why Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say this. He used to say, أقضوا أوقات الانتظار بالاستغفار. Take advantage of the time that you're waiting anyway by doing something for yourself. And if you begin to recite, let's say you're waiting for the bus, you're waiting for the car, you're waiting for in a plane to come. And especially when they said to you, we're sorry, man, it's coming a little bit late. What do you do? Get frustrated? Is getting frustrated is going to bring that plane on time? No. Now what you do, you say, Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah. What they say, 45 minutes? That's an extra time for me. I can read some Qur'an. I can finish my juz. I can finish that chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed. Allah, see, that's the believer. And he don't care. They change it. They cancel the flight. Come in late. Come not late. That's not his issue. His issue is remembering Allah. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. The Shaykh says, so Allah will confer this minna, this gift and this ni'mah on his servant by reciting the Qur'an, by contemplating upon it the meaning of the ayats. And this, the Shaykh, he says, requests and demand mujahadat al-nafs. You gotta strive against your soul. You think those people who are reading the Qur'an and listening to the Qur'an and studying the Qur'an, just like they want to do something else too. They want to go play basketball. But he's like, listen, man, I got to do some Qur'an first. Qur'an come before playing basketball. Now I'm playing basketball, alhamdulillah, you want to play, especially if you play for with Muslims, with the people that, alhamdulillah, they cover properly, no cursing, no fighting. And it's not taking you away from the salat or from something that is obligatory upon you, such as being dutiful to your parents and the like. No, you can play, mashallah. But there is no haram involved. But then this is the person say, yes, that's permissible, but I gotta read some Quran, inshallah, first. Let me finish my juz. Allahu Akbar. and also acting upon the Quran. If a person does these things, he will get the best portion of purification of the soul. Because the Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, Habibullah Ta'ala, in his previous talk, he mentioned, he said, the people, they are not on the same level in anything. Even in the dunya, they are not on the same level. And also in this deen, in understanding the deen, the people are not on the same level. In reading the book of Allah, the people are not on the same level. And in understanding it and acting upon it. So the one who reads more the Quran, with contemplation, with reflection, studying the meaning of the verses, from the proper sources, the books of the ulama, of a salaf, and strive hard, strive hard to act upon those teachings, this person is the one who gets the best portion of purification. He gets the best of the Quran and the benefit from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 121, الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به. Those, and here in the tafsir they say, who embrace Islam from Bani Israel, to whom we gave the book, the Torah. Or also this applicable on the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who recite it, meaning they recite it, but also obey its orders and follow its teachings, as it comes in the tafsir, as it should be recited. That's how you should recite the book of Allah. They are the ones who believe therein, in the book of Allah. There is adab, ya akhwan. Ash-shay'u bi-shay' yudhkar. We're not going to change the topic, but just we mentioned something. There is adab of reciting the book of Allah. You can't just be reciting, but your mind is all over the place. Like somebody is in a masjid, he has the mushaf, alhamdulillah. Akhi, over there, right there. Yeah, he just left. Nobody asked him a question. Man, you put your mind on what you're doing. You're reading the Quran, doesn't matter who come, who leave, who sneeze. Now you're doing something. You're in ibadah, you're remembering Allah, you're reciting the book of Allah. Doesn't matter. Unless if somebody come to you and tap you on the shoulder, you don't ignore them. Now you turn, stop, and they ask you a question, you answer that question and go back to the book of Allah. Have respect for the book of Allah. Likewise, if we drive in, and especially if you have other people with you in the car, you put the Quran and then you talk about something else. Talking about sports, or talking about jobs. Once you put the Quran on, listen to the Quran. The Quran is a guidance. Quran is a healing. Barakallahu feekum. Now you're just reading the Quran, but you don't know what you're listening to? It's like someone getting to a medicine, taking a medicine, he don't even know what it is. No, you can't do that. So you pay attention to what is recited, what you are reading, inshallah ta'ala, this is how you get the benefit. Allah says, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those who recite it as it should be recited. He explained what that means, as it should be recited. قَلْ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْكِتَابِ حَقَّ التِلَاوَةِ. What does it mean? بِالْقِرَاءَةِ. By reciting it. وَالْحِفْظِ. Memorizing it. The ulama says if you can memorize the whole book, na'am, tafaddal. But if you can't start somewhere, inshallah ta'ala, by memorizing. وَبِالْفَهْمِ وَالْتَدَبُّرِ. This is how you recite it as it should be recited, by trying to understand the meanings. By contemplating and reflecting on what you are reciting. وَبِالْعَمَلِ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. And then, by acting upon what you read. قَلْ وَالْعَمَلُ بِالْقُرْآنِ نَفْسُهُ يُعَدُّ تِلَاوَ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, acting upon what's in the Qur'an is considered also reciting the Qur'an. Acting upon the teachings of the Qur'an. قَلْ فَلَيْسَتَ التِلَاوَ مُجَرَّدْ قِرَاءَةُ الْحُرُوفِ دُونَ فَهْمِ الْمَعَانِي وَلَا أَيْضًا فَهْمِ الْمَعَانِي دُونَ عَمَلِ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, when you hear, recite the Qur'an, it's not just by saying it, reciting that like we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, just uttering the words and the letters without trying your best to understand. Now you gotta, like, you read the ayah, try to understand. Get Tafsir bin Sa'di. Get Tafsir Ibn Kathir. What's in this ayah? What is the meaning of it? Does it contain an order for us to act upon it, a prohibition to stay away from it? Does it contain a rule and a regulation? Halal, haram. And the likewise. And you build. This is Salafiyya, ya akhwan. Can't just be Salafis by affiliation. Fala Salafiyya is knowledge based. Gotta sit down and we're gonna follow the way of the Salaf, we're gonna follow it in everything. Not just we try to look like them, but what about the inside? Change starts inside, ya akhwan. Inside out. As for changing the outside, that's easy. You can have the most corrupt car, but you paint it, give it a nice touch and brush. Oh, look good. Until they say, well, pop the hood right now. Oh, no, the hood, no, it's okay. No, you gotta pop the hood. You wanna be a sell a car, you wanna sell based on the paint? Nobody buy a car like that. Those guys that they just come and look at the paint and be impressed and hit the tires, right, a couple of times. Right? Oh, that's good. No, they're going to say, pop the hood, man. Let me see what's in there. I want to see the engine. I want to see the heart of this car. What if there is no engine? Well, what is the engine there and there is a shutdown? Likewise, ya Juan. It's very important. قال الحسن البصري رحمه الله أنزل القرآن ليعمل به فاتخذ الناس قراءته عملا. الله أكبر. الحسن البصري رحمه الله, إمام, one of the Imams of the Tabi'een, he says, أنزل القرآن ليعمل به. The Quran was revealed, was set down, so that the people act upon its teachings. But certain people, they think that just by reciting it, that's enough. That's all you have to do, just recite it. That's why you find, subhanAllah, min al-ajab al-ujab, you find certain people, and the Shaykh mentioned this. No, actually, this is we read this in the book of, that's my book, I forget my book. I might not forget it again, inshallah. Zakum Allah khair. In this book here, Sharh al-Usul al-Sitta, Usul al-Sitta, the principles, the six principles, Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and the explanation of our beloved Shaykh, our noble Shaykh, Dr. Salih al-Fawzan, in the beginning he mentions something. He says that the Qur'an is revealed so that the people can act upon his teachings. He says, unfortunately you find certain people, this is in the beginning, in the beginning, he said, you find certain people, he says, they memorize the book. They have beautiful recitation. Man, they got them mid-straight. All the rules of Tajweed, they got them right. He said some people, they even learn the seven mode of recitation. All 10 mode of recitation. What that mean? These people, they really went deep into this field of Quran. But still, he says, they fall into shirk. And they call upon other than Allah. No, when you come to the Quran, that's it. But then they call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They slaughter for other than Allah. He said, these people, they didn't benefit from the Quran. These people, they think it's okay, as long as you recite the Quran, you memorize the whole book. But what about acting upon the teachings? What about the ayah that they recite? Many, this person has lived the Ramadan for the past 40 years. And he read this ayah, not just in Ramadan, in many times. The ayats of Tawheed and ayats that warn against shirk, but the person still fall into the shirk. The Shaykh says, because these people, they didn't understand the purpose behind the revelation of the Quran. It's not wajib that you memorize the book of Allah. If you memorize it, that's way better for you. But what is more important than memorizing the book is to understand what you memorize. And you understand what you read. And you act upon it as understood and acted upon by the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. If we have some time, inshallah ta'ala, we may read to you. It's very important that muqaddimah here in this book, alhamdulillah. But now we continue with this topic. فَهَذِهِ الْقَاعِدَ الثَّالِثَةِ. Who remind us, what was the third principle in the purification of the soul once again?
Quran.
Huh? Al-Qur'an, na'am Shaykh?
To purify soul by
Qur'an. Ahsant. We purify ourselves by the Qur'an. By hanging it or not in a chain around our neck?
No.
Huh? I'm asking you.
No.
Don't you see some people they do that? By hanging the ayats, like ayat al-Kursi and the last ayats in Baqarah, and some ayats, the last ones in Hashr, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, on the walls. What happened, Ikhwan? You don't have nothing, not in here. Ikhwan, brothers, I'm asking you, Khalil, what is the portraits of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ ayat al-Kursi, man? What happened, man? Huh? You don't have the budget? It's not in your budget? Now, ya akhwan, people, they do this. They have a Quran in here. Well, it's not a Quran. It's just like they made it. Like what's the call?
Amulet.
Amulet. Amulet is a shirk, ya shirk.
Pendant.
It's a, like something, you know, they put it in there, all right? It's from, sometimes for men, from gold, even more haram for them to wear gold anyway. They have something like a mushaf hanging it on their neck. Some people, they have a mushaf in the back of the car. Rare on. A man, he's a manager or whatever in his business, he has to have a mushaf on the counter. Sometimes you go to a pizza place. Sauce, what do you call them? Marinara sauce in there. Help me out, man. Ranch dressing. Soup's different, and the mushaf is in there. They push it. Oh, you want some ranch? Excuse me. What do you have that mushaf in there? Barakah. Oh, billah. Barakah, they says, no, the mushaf has to stay there. Why? No, you thought like, akhi, when you slow down, I read. Still will tell them, yeah, yeah, but you don't leave the mushaf in there by the sauce and by the soup and by the, all the food. Like, you got to have respect for the book of Allah. Now, people, they says, no, that's barakah. What do you mean barakah? Now, as long as this mushaf is in here, no breaking in.
No.
All right?
Yeah.
What shaitan is breaking into your heart, man? Talking about some thieves going to break into your store. What about the shaitan breaking into your heart? And putting in it that which is not supposed to be in it. No, but if you see things like that, you talk to the people nicely. Wallahi, ya akhwan, people, they listen. If we talk to them nicely, we're not going to be on that harsh side. Whenever you see somebody have, you go to a store and you see Ayatul Kursi, Mubtadiya, Bid'ah. Some people, they even go and take it and crush it. Akhi, that's not your property. You talk to them nicely. And you should choose the right time. You go on a lunch time and the man is busy, has 15 people, the phone ringing. I want to talk to you. Take your turn. I'm not eating. I'm fasting today, Thursday, just in case you don't know. Right? And then he's like, I want to talk to you about that bid'ah over there. Is this his hikmah now?
No.
Take it easy. You want to go when the man, he's not doing no business. And then you can do with him that business that is for the hereafter. And you talk to them nicely, tell them, Akhi, mashallah, may Allah increase you in this business of this dunya. But I'm sure. See, you don't want to insult people, man. But you tell them, I'm sure, mashallah, that the same way you're diligent for this business in dunya, because I see you, you open every day at 7 o'clock, man. And sometimes you're sick, you're tired, and you want to take off, but you come and open, I'm sure that also your series about your business that is going to get you even, alhamdulillah, better, inshallah, in hereafter. That person, now his heart is open for you. And he says, Naam, akhi, mashallah, we're all supposed to do that. And then you tell him, mashallah, then talk to him about principle. Don't just tell a person, take that out. You don't know how much, maybe his heart is so attached to that. Maybe his grandmother gave it to him, ya akhi. Now you got to talk about principle, ya akhi. The Quran is revealed so we can act upon it. Alhamdulillah, we have to understood it the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us and the companions. And that the companions, Ridwanullah alayhim, we have no narration that they hang the Quran and this and this and that. If that man really, Allah wants good for him, he's going to say no more, brother. Barakallah, you say no more. And he's going to like take it off himself. And even if that person says, listen, oh, you're talking about that? Yeah. Go ahead, man. I don't want to hear that stuff, okay? So, okay, you did what you have to do. All right? إنما عليك البلاغ. طيب الآن القاعدة الرابعة، القاعدة الرابعة في هذا الباب العظيم، باب تزكية النفس. The fourth principle in this chapter or this very important matter and topic, which is the purification of the soul, تزكية النفس. You got some vocabulary now, brothers. Those who are interested in some vocabulary, تزكية النفس. تزكية النفس, purification of the soul. أهمية اتخاذ الأسوة والقدوة في هذا الباب. That's the title now. Not like this is a lesson plan, okay? It's points that help you to remember and put things in its perspective and everything in its category. Now here in the fourth one, you want to purify yourself, alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. But number one, you know that it's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah purify whom He wills. Number two, since this is the case, you gotta ask Allah for purification. Number three is what? The book of Allah is the book of purification. By what? By reading it, understand its meaning, and act upon it. Okay? Number four, you have to have a good example that you follow. You gotta look at someone who already purified himself. Why is this? Why is it so important? Somebody can tell me? Why you gotta look up to someone like that? Why?
You won't be able to do it yourself.
No, that's true, but I'm looking for something else. Now. Somebody is over there. You can, whatever he says, he says. This is how the students of Hadith, they used to get this by the talqeen. And he said, there was no mics before Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed, and them, and Yahya al-Qattan. He will say, and somebody say it to the other 10 behind him, and the other say it from, that's why he says, I heard so-and-so from so-and-so from Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Likewise, you hear it, Khalil, so now it's on you now. Now, what did he say? And when you say Khalil, you're going to say, Uthman said, okay? So me, I says, I heard Khalil who says that Uthman said, okay? Nah, Khalil, what Uthman says? Uthman first?
Yeah, I mean, he left.
Ah, now he left. Okay, tight. We're not starting anything, man. Oh, tight. MashaAllah. Wow. Ah, ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give him safe. Ah, he's back now.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We didn't mean
what
to.
Did I say?
Yeah.
Oh, I said you refer back to him because he has protected himself by someone who has protected himself with the Quran. In other words, they're gonna recite only what's authentic.
So now you're back with us?
Yeah.
Because he said you left.
Yeah, I had to go another one.
Oh, okay. Jazakallah khair. Because see, them brothers, they still don't stop for us, but alhamdulillah, but they still, their minds is with us. Jazakallah khair.
Oh, yeah.
Barakallah fi. Naam. You gotta take somebody who already does it, because, and he's successful. He was good at it. All right? So it becomes easy because you're gonna follow what they did. If I ask you a question now, who is the best to have purified himself in this ummah? Huh? All right, think about it. So, أهمّيّة اتخاذ الأسوة والقدوة. Now, it is very important for you to have an example in this one. You want to purify yourself? But you got to have an example. Someone that have done it before you in the right way. Who is that person? Allah tells us about him. قال الله تعالى كما في سورة الأحزاب verse 21 لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Indeed you have in the messenger of Allah the best example. Allah. You want to purify yourself? You can't do it without this one. Can't. No shortcuts, no experiments. There's no need for that stuff, man. Al-Ahzab 21. Ahzab is chapter 33. Verse 21. وكذلك قول الله سبحانه وتعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. هذا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. Ayat 31 of Surah Ali Imran. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. النبي هو إمام المتزكين وقدوة الخلق أجمعين وسيد ولد آدم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the best, he is the Imam of those who purify themselves. He is their Imam. And he is the example for all of mankind. Now, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the example for all mankind. And he is the best of the children of Adam. بعثه الله سبحانه وتعالى رحمة. Allah sent him as a mercy. وجعله للناس قدوة. Allah made the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as an example for all mankind. Anything you want to do, and you want to do it the right way, and you want to be successful at it, and you want to get the harvest, the nice fruits of it, doesn't matter. As a father, as a husband, as a son, as a stepson, as a stepfather, as a neighbor, as an imam, as a leader. You want to do it good, and you want to be successful at it? Well, your example is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You want to be the best teacher? Well, he is your example. You want to be the best husband? He is your example. We want to be the best fathers for our children? We got to do it. You want to be the best stepfather? Because he was. You want to be the best son-in-law? SubhanAllah. You got to do it through him, what he did. Allahu Akbar. That's why the Prophet ﷺ went through all these things in his life, so that every one of us will find something. Our lives are not the same. We don't have the same things. We don't have the same circumstances. We don't go through the same tunnels. But we have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example. You're a leader of a community. You want to do a good job? Then learn how the leader of his community did it. How he did it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have issues, difficulties. They fire you, which means now your means are low and what I'm going to do? Read the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the Seerah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, months, they don't cook anything, man. They don't have nothing to cook, man. It's water and dates. A brother fights, starts something with his wife because she didn't cook what he wants. It's not because there is no food in the house or even if there is no food in the house. Is it her fault? No, it's not. If we are following the way of the Salaf, Yahwan, we have to keep in mind that we have to do it the way they've done it. We cannot say and claim that we're following their way, but we're still doing it our way. It's like you want to follow somebody, but you're ahead of him. Are you following? What does mean following? Who can give me the definition of following? If I said I'm following you, what does that mean?
Walking in your footsteps.
Huh?
Doing what you're doing.
Where I'm at first, let's first see the position. Where I'm at?
Behind.
Behind who? Behind who?
The leader.
The one that I'm following, right or wrong?
Right.
Can I go with him?
No.
Can I be a step ahead of him?
No.
Can I stay way behind him?
No.
Can he go, okay man, I'm on a car, follow me. Okay, he's gone, but 10 minutes later, me, I'm following you. Who following who? The man is gone. You gotta follow a street. He make a right, can you make a left? Yes, you can, only if, what? If you know, you don't need him anymore. Does anyone know the way to the Jannah? So you go, I can't do it without the Sunnah. You gotta do it right, man. We all know 2 plus 2 is what? 4. And 3 times 3?
9.
Oh, now here is the question. Listen. Huh? All right. 2 plus 2? 4. 3 times 3?
9.
Now here is the question. When 3 times 3 is 10? When?
No.
Never. When 3 times 3 can be 10? When the answer is wrong. Alright? That's when. You got it or not? Alright? When the answer is wrong, that's when it is 10. How many times we are wrong, Ya Juan? And we think we got it. I got it. But because we don't check it. It's like someone, yeah, he knows 3 times 3 and under the pressure and this, and he just want to get out the test, and he put 10 instead of 9. And then later on they say, yo, you messed it up. What? Why? Because you don't even know 3 times 3. That's 9. But why you put 10? I put 10. I ain't put no 10. He may even say, well, somebody put it there. Right or wrong? That's us. Some of us. No, somebody put it there. What do you mean somebody? That's why they put you one by one, man. Not like two next to each other. You by yourself. There is 6 feet between you and between the other guy. So you must write that 10. So now if that person really, before he submit that test to the people, if he review it, he may, right or wrong, he may see that mistake. That's what we need to do, Ya Juan. Mashallah. Tayyip. Can I ask another question? Who can answer this question first? Raise your hand. It's like three. It's like the same type of 3 times 3 is 10. Who wants to answer the question? You gotta see me first. So you need to have eye contact with me in this one. Zakalaka, you need to have eye contact with this one. All right, one. Khalil. Huh? All right, Khalil, you ready? All right, look at me. How many fingers I have?
Two.
Two, I said. See how easy it is? How many fingers I have?
Two.
Two. All right, how many fingers I have?
You have 5 fingers.
Ah, now we have another. Do I have 2 fingers, honey? Allahu Akbar, count, akhi. How many fingers I have?
Yeah.
10. So why you said 2? You see how it is sometimes?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying to him, I'm putting 2 fingers out there. Did I ask him how many fingers do you see?
No.
What did I ask you? What was the question?
How many fingers
I have. Doesn't matter what you see. I still have 10.
Right.
Zakallah. Sometimes we see things the way that we see it. But if we really think about it, and what is the reality of what the people are telling us? Okay? Jazakumullah khair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the qudwa for us. Qudwa, the example. وَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْإِئْتِسَاءِ بِهِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ بِهَدِيهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us. It's not a choice. He command us to follow His example. To emulate His guidance. Now, to emulate His example, to follow His footsteps, and to follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 7, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you have indeed in the Messenger of Allah the good example. That's in Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Al-Ahzab. And also in Surah Al-Hashr, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatsoever give you and command you, take it, act upon it. And of course, the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When you are commanded to do something, do it to the best of your ability. And whatever you are forbidden from anything, leave it alone. Stay away from it completely. قال الشيخ ولهذا ولهذا لا سبيل إلى تزكية النفس بغير اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sheikh said there is no way to purification of the soul without following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالتزكية هي الاتباع والاقتداء بالنبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام والسير على من منهاجه القويم. This is so therefore tazkiyah, purification of the soul, is achieved by following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this noble messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and by following the minhaj, His upright minhaj that he was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَيْفَ يُرَامُ الْوُصُولُ إِلَى التَّزْكِيَةِ وَالْقَبُولُ بِغَيْرِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هذا لا يمكن أبدا. How could then the Shaykh said, how could it be possible for someone to really achieve this goal of purification without following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? He said, that's impossible. You just can't do it. Can't be successful in this one without following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا لا يمكن. That's impossible. It's not feasible. فالذي يريد لنفسه التزكية فليطلبها بالاتباع. If anyone really serious about purifying himself, here is how to do it. By following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه says, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم. Follow and do not innovate. You have been given enough. Follow the narrations. Follow the sunnah. Follow the way of the salaf. Do not come up with stuff from your own self. You have been given enough. وقال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه إنا يعني نحن إنا نقتدي ولا نبتدي ونتبع ولا نبتدع ولن نضل ما تمسكنا بالأثر. الله أكبر. Statements of one of the great scholars amongst the companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an. He says, "Inna naqtadi wa la nabtadi." We only follow. We don't come up with new stuff. Naqtadi, we follow the example. Wa nattabi wa la nabtadi. We follow and we do not innovate. We don't bring new matters to this deen. وَلَنْ نَضِلَّ مَا تَمَسَّكْنَا بِالْأَثَرِ. And we will never go astray as long as we hold on to the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله أكبر. قال الشيخ وهذا أمر لا بد من التنبه له. He said, this is a matter that is very important to pay attention to. It's very important to pay attention to this matter. لأن الناس لا يزالون في كل زمان تخترع لهم اختراعات ويحدث لهم طرائق. He says, because the people in all times, there is always other people who they introduce to them matters that are not from this religion. It's always the case. Certain people, Ahlul Bid'ah, they continue to be creative in those Bid'ah, wal-iyadu billah. They continue to come up with new ways for the people. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهَا يُدَّعَى فِيهَا أَنَّهَا تُزَكِّي النُّفُوسِ وَتُهَذِّبُ الْقُلُوبِ وَتُقَوِّي الصِّلَةَ بِاللَّهِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُقَالِ. The Shaykh says, and many of those innovative ways and paths, many of those people who introduce it to the people, they claim that it will purify their souls. Make this dua, say it 1,000 times, make sure, not 999, not 1,001. So if instead of the person focus on the ibadah and his heart, he's like, who is it, 79? Is it 199? Waswas, this is how the waswas starts in the people, al-iyadu billah. Akhi, who told you you're going to say subhanallah until you get tired? You have to count 1,000. If you want to count 1,000, bring a dalil. Did the Prophet ﷺ did it? Now people, they go to Home Depot and buy this thing, Walmart, you know? What is it called?
Counter.
This little counter, right? And they go, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Can even give you salam. Salam alaikum. Wa alaikum subhanallah. Wa alaikum subhanallah. Because he's missed stuff now. Yeah, if somebody give you salam, stop saying subhanallah. Give your brother salam. And then say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, not just subhanallah. But these people, somebody tell them, no, once you do subhanallah, don't talk to anybody. La ilaha illallah. He says, and these innovative ways, those people who introduce them, they claim that purify your soul, polish your heart. They scratch your heart. That's what they do. They don't polish. They polish your heart, and they claim that this way that they invented, they're not from the deen of Allah, will strengthen your relationship with Allah. Yes, that's what the brother do. They take you straight down. He's maybe 40 years old. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا مَا يُقَالَ. And this is only from so many things that they say. وَالْحَقُّ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Now what is the truth in all of this? Everybody can claim and say what they want, but what is the truth? What the Prophet ﷺ said. What the Prophet ﷺ said about these ways and invented ways. كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Every newly invented matter to this deen is an innovation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every innovation lead people astray. Who wants to be astray? Who wants to be lost? Even in this dunya, you drive in a car, you want to get lost? You're going to work, you're going to the interview. Good job, nice. They said, you got to be here at 8:30. You want to get lost? But you know if you get lost, what happened? More gas, trouble, the interview is gone. So who wants to get lost, akhi? And be removed? Because when you're lost, meaning that you are not on the path that you're supposed to be upon, right, Sheikh? That's what lost means. Correct me if I'm wrong. When somebody is lost, is he on the right path? No, he's not. If we lose the right path that leads to the Jannah, is there another path? There's no other path. That's why there is no such thing, oh, there is some good bid'ah. Who told you? If the Prophet said every bid'ah is astray, is misguided, somebody comes and says, wait a minute, there is a good bid'ah. Who we listen to? We listen to the Prophet says, then we listen to this so-called Mawlana. Well, they say, yo, you gotta listen to him. Why? Well, he memorized the Quran. I see now again, see the shubah of the shaitan. Anybody who memorized the Quran, we listen to him. Alhamdulillah, he memorized the Quran, but if he says something that agrees with the sunnah, as they say, عَلَى الرَّاسِ وَالْعَيْنِ, we're going to put that on, not the person, what he says, on our head. You want to put the person, that's another topic. But whatever he says, what does he mean this statement? He goes, alhamdulillah, it's okay with us. If you say the haq, doesn't matter who you are, Arab, non-Arab, black, white, rich, poor, man and a woman, doesn't matter. Akhi, we're supposed to take the haq even from a kafir. Right or wrong? If you as a Muslim, Salafi, upon the sunnah, but you're doing something that is not right, he kafir. But he knows. Maybe his family are Muslims, and he come and approach one of us and says, you're Muslim, right? Yeah. Isn't it in the religion you don't supposed to be these things? And you know. What do you know though? What do you say now? You should be ashamed of yourself. Say, subhanAllah, kafir telling me this. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to reject the haq because it came from him? Don't reject the haq. Accept the haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to accept the haq. Ameen. And what is the haq? والحق ما كان من الأعمال ليس على أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مردود على صاحبه غير مقبول منه. Now certain people, they say the haq, yes, it's haq. But it's not that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon. Is it still haq? No, it's not. It's rejected. It will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غير مقبول. If it's not in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and what the Sahaba were upon, is not accepted, it will be rejected. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action that is not in accordance to what we were upon, it will be rejected. It's rejected. And also in the other hadith now, from Aisha radiallahu anha also, but now this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever introduced and innovated something into this deen of ours that is not from it, it will be rejected. Sometimes people, they act upon this bid'ah, and you tell them this is bad, ya akhwan. They just say, I have nothing to do with it, man. I ain't bring it. He says, but you act upon it. Alright? It's no good. Yes, I agree with you. It's not good to introduce it, but also it's no good. Most definitely it's no good to act upon it, neither. طيب. ولهذا وجب على الإنسان الناشد والحريص على تزكية نفسه أن يجاهد نفسه على الاتباع والاقتداء والتأسي بالرسول الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام. Said, now it is incumbent upon anyone who's sincere and diligent when he says that he wants to purify himself because he knows the fruits of purification, he has to strive against his own self. He has to keep on fighting, man. Don't put your hands down. You gotta keep on fighting your desires, your lust, the shayatin of the human being and shayatin of the jinn. Keep on fighting. And why are you doing all this? Your way? The way of your country? No. Doing it the way of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلْيَحْذَرْ كَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمُحْدَثَاتِ وَالْمُخْتَرَعَاتِ وَالطَّرَائِقَ الْمُبْتَدَعَاتِ الَّتِي يَدَّعِي أَرْبَابُهَا أَنَّهَا تُزَكِّي النُّفُوسِ. Likewise with all of this, that person should be cautious and aware of the newly invented matters and those innovations and the many different paths that are innovated. That those who innovate these ways, they claim that these ways will purify your soul. Like the Sufi, they say, no, Sophia, purify your soul. Come and sit with us together, in the dark, and that's going to purify your soul. La ilaha illallah. قال ولا يزال أئمة الضلال يورطون العوام والجهال بأعمال منكرة وفعال لا أصل لها في دين الله يدعون أنها تزكي النفوس. He says, and the أئمة, the leaders in misguidance, والعياذ بالله, they are leaders but in misguidance, they continue to drive the laymen and get the laymen involved, the ignorance, get them involved in some wicked, evil, vile actions. Has no base whatsoever in the deen of Allah, still they claim that will purify their deen, their soul. And you remember we said one principle, what purify your soul? The Quran and the Sunnah. Following the Sunnah. Now these people, they come up with something that is not in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ did it, didn't do it. Actually the Prophet ﷺ warned against it. But they still claim that will purify the soul. حتى إن بعضهم يوصي المبتدئ في الهداية والداخل في أول طريقها بالانقطاع عن الجماعات في المساجد والخلوة في مكان مظلم. So much so they tell the people, listen man, you really want to purify your soul the right way? Don't go to the masjid. Stay home in the dark. Don't go. Don't be with the people. You gotta go somewhere by yourself in the dark. ويملي عليه ذكرا خالص خاصا وألفاظ معينة يرددها يزعم أنها تزكي وتهذب وتربي إلى غير ذلك من الدعاوى الباطلة. And he will tell him, listen, here is this dua for you, okay? That dua is not from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never make the dua. They come up with some dua, and he tell him, this is only for you, man. It's not for everybody, okay? Since when there is some deen was only for this guy or the other guy? It's only for you. Go there, say it in this way, and still they say, look, he's going to purify your soul, polish your heart, he's going to give you comfort, serenity, tranquility, stability, and peace, and all of those false things. وَعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ فَتَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ اتِّبَاعٌ لِلنَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَسَيْرٌ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِهِ الْقَوِيمِ وَلُزُومٌ لِصِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now here is the real meaning of تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ. Doesn't matter what the people are doing. You gotta do what is right. And this is what is right. The right way to do it, to purify yourself, is by following the Prophet ﷺ. By following the minhaj and the methodology he was upon, ﷺ, his upright methodology. By sticking firm and holding firm to the path of Allah. And by وَحَذَرٌ مِنَ الْإِنْحِرَافِ وَالزَّيْغِ عَنْ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ بِأَيِّ مُسَمَّنْ كَانْ وَبِأَيِّ طَرِيقَةٍ بِالدُّعِيَةِ. Likewise, you have to be warned and cautious and beware that you may remove yourself away from this path, the only path that is straight. And then you get yourself, involve yourself in different paths. Just because certain people, they say, they put a label on it. Yeah, this is going to take you there. It's going to take you there. You got to be aware of that. It's like you want to go north. Is 95 close here or not? 40 east and 40 west, right? 85 north, huh? You want to go north. What take you north? 85 no, south. Huh? 85 south take you north? That's a little bit confusing, man. 85 south take you north. All in Carolina, is this is a rule or what? Because me doesn't make sense to me. 85 south take you north. Maybe the north part of the south area down south. Is Raleigh in south? From here?
Yes.
Alright, so maybe you take your north part of Raleigh. 85 south, no?
No.
Is 85 a belt?
No. 40
takes you to Raleigh. I'm from New Jersey, I'm sorry.
Oh, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. That's the hell. Okay, you're from New Jersey? Alright. Learn your roads, brother. Learn your roads. Alhamdulillah. Now it's okay, sometimes like in Atlanta area, they have 285, but it's a belt. You know how they call them a belt? It goes around the city. Yes, sometimes that south take you north, but that's a long, you know, you gotta move. But if you keep going south, you will never go north. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta swerve towards west and then make your way out, okay? Or towards east and come up. Alright? Jazakallah khair. Inshallah ta'ala, we stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We will continue. The next chapter, the next principle that we're going to deal with tomorrow, inshallah, same time after Maghrib, at-tazkiyah, tahliyah, wa tahliyah. With all of this, tazkiyah, you want to do it, you want to do it right, right? Because hey, anything that you want to do, it's not just like you do it, but you got to do it right. It's like somebody said, we're going to put a wall in here. Anybody can put a wall, right or wrong. But who's going to put that wall the right way? That's what makes the difference. Likewise, you want to make this purification correct way, you have to have these components again. Along with this, you have this takhliyah. What does it mean? You're going to leave certain things alone, and you're going to adorn yourself and beautify yourself with others. What are those things you should leave alone, and others should adorn yourself with? Inshallah, tomorrow. If Allah allow us to see you again. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.